Father, we are just so thankful that you've brought us together today. We just praise you, our Most High God, for you are worthy to do your work and your will in each one of us. Father, we bless your name and thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that your hand has been laid upon each one of us. We rejoice in thee this morning, Lord, and we praise you. Amen. I'd like to start reading in Proverbs 8 and verse 22, and I'd just like to read on to verse 31. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth before, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the earth, of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandments. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. I think that's very plain scripture. We often quote Ephesians 1, that he chose us in himself before the foundation of the world. But I believe those scriptures make it a lot more clearer. God is doing his work in the midst of us. And we've talked about the personal relationship that we are to come in with him. You know, even though God is bringing forth a corporate son in the earth with one head, individually he is preparing us to be a part of that sonship company or that first fruits company. And I believe that it's important that we are to hear his word by the Spirit. We are to know him by experience. We are to understand who he is and his ways, to experience his truth and to walk out his purpose and calling upon our lives. And I think that's very important, that each revelation or each unveiling of his word or each time he illuminates his word within us, that we have to have the understanding that we have to walk that word out until it becomes a part of us. The letter of the law killeth. If you just know the letter of what God is saying in this hour, it doesn't do any benefit. But his words are spirit and are life. His words bring change within us. And he has so much that he is telling us and bringing us into. But each one of it, each revelation has to become a personal, individual part of our lives before it's changed. And we are to walk out his calling upon our lives, and we are to appropriate his word within our lives that we may be changed into his image and put on that immortal body. That is where we're heading. That is what God's doing within the midst of us. Individually. Even though he's putting together a corporate body that Christ is the head of, individually, we are walking out with God our way to back into him. We came from him, we're being processed through him, and we return to him. But God's people, the first fruit company that stands upon the earth as the body of Christ, as the corporate Son of God that speaks God's word forth into creation, is a people that individually have had their personal relationship with God and have been changed by His Word and by His Spirit. It is not a self-effort. It is not something that we can do within ourselves. It is that we walk out each revelation. The Word says we receive the Word hearing by the Word. We hear the Word, and we hear it by the Word. But that Word, but just hearing it and knowing the letter of it is not enough. There's multitudes of millions of people around the world that can quote God's Word, quote the Bible. But it's not until that Word becomes spirit and life within us that it brings changes. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile this world back to God. That's our ministry. And, you know, you can't do that unless you know God, know who He is, and know His ways. I mean, God's dealing with every particle of our being, of our mind, of our soul, of our heart, that has got to be changed into His image. We are ambassadors for Christ. When we send an ambassador to another country, he is a representative of the United States. We are God's ambassadors in this world. And Jesus Christ came to bring redemption to creation. And now the corporate Son of God is going to appear upon the earth to finish the work of reconciliation, of bringing all creation back unto God. In Colossians, the first chapter, I was reading this week, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled." And that word filled, that's Colossians 1 and verse 9. I'm sorry. That word fill means to make complete or to render perfect, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the Amplified, that last part says, that you might be filled to the full, deep and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensiveness, insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and in discerning of spiritual things. We are a spirit. You know, we talk about, and I'm as guilty as everybody else, about the things that are happening in this world. And yet in our heart, we know that we were with God before the foundation of the world, that we came out from God, that we are spiritual beings, and that Jesus prayed, He said, "You're in the world, but you're not of the world." That we see things from a different perspective than the world sees them. And yet this flesh still gets riled up when we see things in the world that are happening. And then we turn around and say, well, we know that it's God's will that is being worked out in the earth. But God is working out in us every area of our lives to be changed into His likeness. The Word says, as we behold Him, we are transferred, formed, changed, metamorphosed into the same image. And you see, we've got to remember that there's two concepts here. We're physical beings. We're flesh and blood. I remember Floyd used to say that this body is the vehicle that carries the spirit, our spirit. And it's the only vehicle that we have that can carry our spirit, the reality and the real us. And so we do everything we can to protect it, to groom it, to keep it healthy, you know, as long as we possibly can. Because that's us. I mean, that's our natural being. That's what we are in this world. We're, as long as we're walking here, we are a natural flesh and blood individual. But then on the other hand, we are a spirit man that came out from God, that was created in the likeness and the image of God. We are spirit. And therefore, God, when Adam and Eve in the garden, when Adam was in the garden and he rejected God, he disobeyed God, man identified with the soulical realm. And he kind of became a soul man. Of himself, thinking, well, I can do all things. I can do this. I am equal to God. I can accomplish all these things. And down through the ages, as God began to deal with man, to bring about a reformation and a restoration, it's actually more of a restoration of bringing to our remembrance of where we came out from. He restored salvation. He restored holiness. He restored to us the idea of who we are, that we are spiritual beings. He's taken away sin consciousness. And it is as we come to know Him. You've heard me say it before, and more I believe it's very important. Paul said here that we might have the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the Amplified says, in insight into the ways and purposes of God. Israel knew the acts of God. Israel saw the Red Sea open. Israel saw the walls of Jericho came down. Israel saw the water from the rock. But it said Moses knew the ways of God. This corporate man, hallelujah, that is going to stand upon the earth as God's manifested sons are going to know God intimately and personally and individually as Jesus knew Him as His Father. And that is only coming by that personal expression or that personal relationship with God. It's good to get together like we are this morning. It's good to see one another. It's absolutely glorious to fellowship with one another. We love that. We love to be with those that, hallelujah, have seen the same revelation that we have seen. That we can express ourselves openly without fear of being retaliated against. The word that God has given to us. But I will tell you this morning that coming into His image and into His likeness and putting on that divine nature will not happen in meetings like this. It happens as He has drawn us aside and drawn us into His presence, and He speaks and teaches us individually. And the knowledge and the understanding, I love what this says, in the purposes of God and the understanding and discernment of spiritual things. This is a spiritual thing. This is not something we can do. That has gone before us has been things that men could do. Men could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and function in the gifts of the Spirit. All outward expressions of an inward relationship with God. Even to the point that the Christian was judged about how much they shouted in church or how much they spoke in tongues. People say, well, that is a spiritual individual. But today, the measure of spirituality is the growth and the development of the fruits of the Spirit within us. We are becoming more and more like Him. Jesus loved creation unconditionally. You will not find in the Word where He ever condemned the sinner or ever judged the sinner. It was always the hypocritical church of His day that He judged. It was always the hypocritical church of His day that He condemned. But the sinners He drew to Him, the sinners He loved and did not condemn, He loved them unconditionally. We see His compassion for creation when He was praying and crying over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you? We see His love, the manifestation of the sons of God. He was able to say, if you have seen the Father, you have seen, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father also. Because He was an expression of the Father in the earth. And I'm telling you that God's manifested sons are going to be an expression of God in the earth in this day. An expression of His love, an expression of His mercy, an expression of His reconciliation. Because it was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He is drawing everyone back into Himself. And so it is the knowledge of Him. When you have an understanding of something, you don't fear it. When you have the knowledge of who God really is. And we have seen that transformation. I know I have, from a God that was harsh and condemning and under the law, to a God that absolutely loves His creation. The Most High God who has created everything that we see. God in creation loves them. And in verse 10 He says that you might walk worthy, live and conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insights, acquaintance, and recognition. So the knowledge of God brings a fuller and a deeper and a clearer and insight and acquaintance and recognition of God. And that comes from personal relationship with Him. You see, what did the writer of the Hebrews says? When you should be teachers, you need that someone teach you. See, we come through a church system. At least I can only say for me, I came through a church system that the only thing that I believed was what I was taught from the pulpit or in Sunday school. That was the basis of my relationship with God, or what my denomination taught. You know, it wasn't something that I had searched out for myself. There were things that I never could understand. I never could see it because I didn't see it live. One was the message of sanctification as a second definite instantaneous work of grace. I never could see, understand that concept. Because I was taught that at sanctification, the Adamic nature was eradicated and you didn't sin no more. But yet when I looked around at the people that were shouting and speaking in tongues and claiming sanctification, I didn't see that. And later I found out and understood that sanctification is a process. It comes out of a relationship with God. That we're changed, we're transformed into His image. And in Colossians 1 and verse 16 it says, for by Him were all three things created. And I don't know how you can misunderstand this scripture, because it says all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things created by Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. For all things, it was in Him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authority, all things were created and exist through Him, by His service, intervention, and in and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things cohere and held together by Him. He is the divine presence, the divine creator that fills it, His light that fills every man that cometh into this world. The Spirit in every man came out from God, no matter what they are, no matter how evil the world perceives them to be. The Spirit of God is in, that is the life that is in every man. And God created it all. And it is all coheres and is held together by Him. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning or the firstborn from the dead, that in Him, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He also is the head of His body, the church, seeing He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He alone, in everything and every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminence. It's God. He is the Creator. He is the Lord on high. He is the God of gods and the King of kings. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. The sum total of divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in Him permanently. You see, and that's what God's doing to us. We're being changed. We're being transformed. We're being metamorphosed. And it's happening between our two ears. And it's not something that the world can see. It's not something anybody else. But if we know each other, we can see the changes that God is bringing in us. But it's coming from that personal relationship with Him. I tell you, the Word says, be still and know that I am God. They that wait upon the Lord. You know, He ceased from His labor. And we must enter in to His rest, knowing that His world, Word, and His purpose is being worked out in us. He's given us the promise that He that began the good work will bring it to completion. He didn't say, the work I began, you're going to bring to completion. You know, we can go around quoting all day, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, and the next minute we turn around and do it. You know, we can go around trying to break all kinds of habits and all, but that's not the change that He's talking about. The transformation, the confirmation, the change, the metamorphosis is happening between our two ears. The spirit and the soul at one time in Adam were one. Adam lived out of the spirit life. But when he fell in Eden, he began to live out of the soulical realm. And God is bringing us back to the place where spirit is going to take its preeminent place within us. And we are going to live out of that spirit realm. And when the completion that God is working in us happens, that's when the manifestation of the sons of God is going to take place. When God looks and sees His image within us, the gold that is purified by the fire, that all the dross has flowed off and there's nothing but pure gold. When God sees His image in us, that's when we're going to put on that immortal body. And that's why I feel that it's so important in this hour that we as individuals, we come together, we gather together, yes. But more important than that is that we individually come to know Him and who He is. Verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him reconciling all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Amplified Bible says, all things should be completely reconciled back to Him. And then in verse 21 says, "And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath He now reconciled in the body of His flesh." And listen, He's reconciled in the body of His flesh to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Yes, Jesus has, Christ the Messiah, reconciled you to God in the body of His flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irrevocable and irreproachable in His Father's presence. Who do we believe? We're a people of sight. We've got to see it before faith takes hold. But that's not faith, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. So we see that God, through reconciling us to Himself, to present you unblameable, holy, and unreprovable in His sight. So who's right? Is the man that is accusing you of seeing all the flaws and the failures in this flesh realm right? Or is the God who created you, who you stood with before the foundation of the world, who formed and created you in His image and His likeness, and declared you to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, is He right? I tell you that the time has come, and now is, that we begin to listen and to proclaim what the Word has said about us. God has said it. Man did not say it, but God has said it. That we are holy, that we are unblameable, that we're unreprovable in His sight. That He has filled us with His glory, with His presence, with His power, with all that He is. And that it is as faith takes hold of those words, and as we behold Him as He is, John says that we are changed into the same image. That now we are sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that we, when we see Him, we shall be as He is. We shall be like Him. Hallelujah. That He has given us these promises that we might put on the divine nature of God. We were with Him when the angels sang. We were with Him when the earth was formed. We were with Him when He created man in His image and in His likeness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were there in the beginning of it all. And we will be there in the ending of it all. The God that proposed in Himself the word of reconciliation to bring all creation back into Himself is the God that formed and fashioned and created us in His image and His likeness. The God that placed the stars and the moon in place is the God that created us and placed His image upon us. He is the God that called and proposed in Himself back in the beginning before the foundation was formed that we would be His sons in this hour to be manifested in the earth to declare His righteousness and His word of reconciliation into all creation. It is the God who is the one, the I Am, that Moses saw at the burning bush that said, "I am who I am." He is the creator of all things. He is above all. He is preeminent in our life. He is the first and the foremost in all that we think or believe. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it is He that by His hand created and fashioned us and lowered us into this dimension of time. And we were birthed at the divine appointed time that we might be on this earth today. This is our stage that He has appointed us to play on. This is our stage that He has called us to be an expression of Himself in the earth, to show creation exactly who our God is and how He is. And we are to be like Him in all areas of our life. And it is as we fellowship and walk and individually talk and with Him and speak with Him, and His divine purpose and word is made known within us, that His word becomes spirit and life within us, that transformation, metamorphosis, and change takes place. And I tell you again that it's good for us to get together as we are today. But I must emphasize, as the Spirit impresses me, that it is most important that individually we are beholden in Him. And I know that we all have our lives. We all have everything that we have to do. And we're all busy, because that's what this world is about. But the fact of the matter is, He said, pray without ceasing. Walk in an attitude of prayer. Walk in the Spirit, in that attitude of knowledge of who we are. Allow our thoughts, as I've said before, we cannot control what comes to our mind. But we can control what we entertain and what we think upon. When thoughts come to our mind that are not of God, we put them out immediately. We learn the Word and quote it back, and allow His Word to become such a part of us. This is our nature. Our nature is spirit. That is the reality of who we are. Our nature is not flesh and blood. We are spirit beings that God has called and proposed to be upon the earth at this time. And I tell you that this is an exciting day that the Lord God, the Creator of all things, has made for you and I. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. No matter how severe the storms may be, no matter how dark the night may be, no matter how low the valley may be, this is the day, hallelujah, that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. I will bless Him. I will praise Him. I will extol Him. I will lift Him up to the highest, because He is worthy, because it's His purposes that are being worked out in this earth, and it is His purpose that He proposed in Himself that in this hour to have a people, hallelujah, upon whom His hand has been laid, and He has called to be a sonship company, a first fruits people upon this earth in this hour, to be an expression of Himself, to declare His word of reconciliation into creation. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will extol Him. I will praise Him. I will sing to Him of the highest, for He is Lord and He is God and He is Almighty, and He is my Father, my Creator, my Lord, my God, my everything. He is the very breath that I breathe. He is the life that I live. He is all that I have. There is nothing left behind, because all the bridges have been burnt. There's nothing but death. But He is life and light and glory to me. The night and the light are the same to Him. There is no difference, because He is the God of light, and He has declared that we are not children of the night, but we are children of the day. And we let us live, therefore, as children of the day, not looking and beholding that which is around us, but knowing that He is the Lord our God that hath brought us forth out of our mother's womb and seated us in heavenly places with Himself, that all principalities and powers and every name that is named is under our feet, because we are His sons. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are those that have been called out to be a part of that that He's doing in this day. So this is the day of the Lord, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, because He is my God, my Lord, my sheep, my shepherd, my high tower, my refuge, in whom I dwell, and under His wing I am sheltered and dwell, because He is my Father, the creator of who I am, and I am pleased in Him sight, because He has declared that I am holy and I am unblameable and I am unreprovable in His sight, that I am perfect in Him who hath created me. So why should I worry concerning those around who would say thus and so about me? Because I know who I am, and I know in whom I have believed, and I trust in Him who is the Lord God Almighty, who is my Father and hath called me forth. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it, and I will praise Him exceedingly for who He is and what He has done within the midst of me. Amen.